Today on the news and why it matters, the FBI apparently dropped the ball on domestic terrorists. And then just in the last 10 years, there's just terrorists who killed 70 people in the country. A lot to get into on the new Inspector General report. Also, Bill Clinton has a new reason why he had sex with Monica Lewinsky and had an affair on his wife in the Oval Office. It's an excuse you're not going to want to miss. Stay tuned. It starts right now. Happy Friday. Welcome to the news and why it matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, today joined by conservative commentator Grant Stinchfield, who is looking extra dapper today.
Thank you very much.
You can also see him on Stu Does America later on this evening.
That's why I got dressed up.
Oh. I mean, I was over here thinking you were just trying to look nice for us.
Okay. You guys have beer.
We do. We do. Which goes well with your jacket.
Right.
Jason Buttrell, chief researcher of the Glenn Beck Program.
Ma'am.
And Yaku Buyens, president and founder of Share Together, filmmaker and jack of all trades.
Why don't you introduce him as pro football player?
Like, that's what
I'm
saying.
I just learned that now, and I didn't even know
it would
that.
Take
that's
me 5 minutes if I could.
NFL.
And rugby player, and I mean, it would take me 5 minutes if I had to go through all of the cool things.
Told you
that
before, janitor at large.
I'm most impressed with NFL, though.
I know, that's it's cool. Crazy. All right, got a lot to get into. Let's talk first about this new Inspector General report that was released this week. According to the report, the FBI missed opportunities to stop at least five domestic terrorists who killed 70 Americans in total. It found that homegrown violent extremists carried out 20 plus attacks since 9/11 in the U.S., some of which occurred after the FBI closed a counterterrorism investigation. The FBI has not taken sufficient action to address weaknesses, is what the report said. And including these six attacks were including the 2009 Fort Hood incident, the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing, and the 2016 Pulse nightclub. The FBI also failed to conduct follow-up investigations of people identified as violent extremists. And I know James Comey was at the head of the FBI for at least one of these during the Pulse nightclub, we know, which is why Senator Rand Paul came out and tweeted about this recent report from the Inspector General. He said, when I asked James Comey after the Pulse mass shooting, if in retrospect, the FBI concluded too soon that Mateen was not a threat, the arrogant Comey refused to admit any mistake and maintained the opinion that Mateen was not a threat. Comey, tell that to the 49 people who died. Grant, what are your thoughts? Are you surprised at all?
No, I have mixed emotions on this story because I know for a fact the line boots on the ground FBI agents take terrorism very, very seriously.
Yes.
And I know for a fact they've stopped countless number of terrorist attacks against the United States that we never, ever hear about. And God bless them for that. When I read a story like this, it doesn't surprise me because what I think is this is coming from top brass. This is where still agencies are not communicating the way that they still should be communicating. And there was probably politics again at play from the top levels. And I promise you, when you talk about Islamic terror, at the top levels of the FBI, they're taking talking points from still, whether it was during the Obama administration or deep state Obama holdovers, that we don't want to mention this stuff. And so get this stuff out of here as quickly as possible. Mm. In the end, American lives are lost. But I do believe that the FBI has stopped far more terrorist attacks than we know about, and thank them for that.
That's a given. I've read a lot of the reports that you never hear about, like, including there was one case here where a terrorist tried to bomb some fountains not too far from here. I'd never even heard the case. It wasn't even reported nationally, I don't think, but I heard about it locally. This happens all the time. And they do sting operations where they catch them trying to purchase weapons, stuff like that, nonstop. So the on the ground, boots on the ground, just like you said, Grant, they are amazing. Mm-hmm. The problem is the metastasized cancer that has arisen, and primarily in leadership positions via the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Two names, Philip Haney, Robert Spencer. Robert Spencer was a guy that now he's basically being chased off the internet. He can barely, can barely even support himself anymore because everything he was doing now was online. But he used to train the FBI, and he'd be like, look, radical Islamic terror. That was the first big ding against him. But he said, this is an actual issue. They were naming names. They were saying, follow these people. He was training them on how to identify and follow some of these leads. Philip Haney was at DHS. who sadly, you know, was just maybe murdered. He's dead now a couple of weeks ago. But he was one of the guys at DHS doing the exact same thing. He was like, hey, we need to, I have this list of people. We need to be following them, keeping tabs on them. That, because it was politically inconvenient at the time, from 2008 all the way up until basically today. But those guys are still at the top. And I think it is deep state. I think it is. It's those guys that are in there. They're still pursuing that same agenda. I do not know why, because you would think lawmakers, law enforcers would be above this kind of stuff. But as we've seen from Comey, that's just not the case. And it's sad and dangerous.
Yeah, look, man, this hits home. We work with the FBI daily, right? Mm-hmm. Fighting human trafficking, sex trafficking. We train the FBI. And I can tell you right now, the 40,000 plus or minus FBI agents, these are incredible human beings. Mm-hmm. But if you understand law enforcement or the military, you take your orders from the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't just go rogue as an FBI agent and say, listen, I'm going to do something. And the top brass misrepresent the field reps 100%. There's no question. They ask for training. They ask for better intel. It is filtered at the top. It is. It's been weaponized against this president. Here's this president again for the first time ever telling the FBI, you will, the brass, I was in the room with him when he did this in the White House. You will pursue sex traffickers and drug traffickers across the border because the men in the field are asking for it. Whether it's CBP or ICE or the FBI, they do incredible. You're right. They do incredible work. They stop things. I'll tell you, for instance, this potential Islamic terrorist in our city where we live here that's under permanent watch and profile, which I know about in areas. They do their work in the field, but they can only do as much as the brass allow them to do.
You know, the scary thing about this is this has metastasized way beyond, you know, I mean, the FBI is just one of the organizations that I think is DHS, like we mentioned with Philip Haney. Yeah. But these messages come large and large by groups like CARE, who have direct links straight to the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. That's not conspiracy. You can read about it in FBI reports. But I said this not too long ago, and journalists were like, oh, yeah, conspiracy theory, Alex Jones. It's in the report. And you link it to them, and they shut up, and they don't respond to it. But the leaders of CARE have been photographed walking around Congress with people like Ilhan Omar. The leader of CARE was with her. They're the ones pushing this ridiculous Islamophobia bullcrap.
Yeah.
But now that's direct line straight to our actual lawmakers. That's scary.
And I think some of Rand Paul's frustration, which I share the sentiment, is people like James Comey, who are, I mean, they're so arrogant, never want to admit, yes, I've made one mistake in my life. It would just be nice when you're talking about innocent Americans' lives. It would be nice for you in retrospect to say, perhaps we could have done something differently. Maybe we should look at the way that, you know, our organization works from the top down so that this doesn't happen. At least maybe just acknowledge that.
So you know, we all know, everybody out there watching knows that James Comey is never going to say that. He thinks he's like God's gift to law enforcement. I will say that Rand Paul tweeting this somewhat bothers me as a man who is an isolationist and does not want to face terror head on overseas. He constantly minimizes the amount of work that we are doing overseas to stop them there from coming here, yet because certainly it's politically in his benefit to do a tweet like this about Comey. That's an easy target. We all can do that tweet. But Rand Paul, get on board, man. This is real. They are coming here. If we do not stop them there, they will get us here, and they're growing them. Homegrown is what the story's about. Mm-hmm. They'll get us.
Look, every one of those were manufactured here. Those boys flying those planes got their pilot's licenses here. If you talk FBI, you got to talk CIA. We have to fight this battle outside of our country so that we don't have to fight it here. Because once it's here, weird things happen.
Yeah. Moving on to Bill Clinton. Bill and Hillary, they just can't go away. Just go live your life. Just go away. Go live your private life and just leave everyone else alone. No, they are apparently doing a Hillary Clinton documentary. And apparently Bill Clinton told the documentary filmmakers that, quote, the pressure of being in the White House made him feel like a boxer who had gone 30 rounds and his affair was something that will take your mind off it for a while. And so he said, he says that he did it to manage his anxiety. He just,
that's what everybody does.
Being a president.
And I mean, just go to the intern. We're in your office. This is Matt Lauer, right? That's his. That's how he handled his anxiety. Right? I mean, this is insane.
It's so insane. I feel like we need like maybe some music to set the tone for this particular story. Thank you. Think that's more like it. Oh yeah. All right. Al Green needs to start singing now. Jason, why? Why talk about it? Just like go away.
This is the guy. So I was with another public figure back when I was in executive protection, and we were in Los Angeles, and we spoke at a university. And the person I was protecting spoke, and then Bill Clinton was the guy that was going to wrap everything up. And there were some people next to me. They were like, isn't he still just so great? You know, he's just such a great person, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I wanted so badly to like speak up, but I would have lost my job. But they still idolize this guy. Yeah. And so the people that like will hit Donald Trump, you know, over a war on women or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then this guy will come out and very publicly say, yeah, I used
a woman to manage my anxiety.
Not because I like the chick or anything like that, because it was all selfish because I felt nervous that one day. So I was like, hey, come on. You know what I mean? Barry White's playing in the background.
Yeah. Look, if I can take a shot, let's know whose portrait hung in Epstein's Foyer, okay? Bill Clinton, okay? There's a reason. These guys actually honestly believe that some people in society are there for them to use at will for managing anxiety, as crazy as that could be. But, you know, he's saying, I felt like I was a boxer in a cage and I couldn't. Yeah, because you weren't a president, because you were a puppet and they were pulling the strings. And I understand that you had anxiety, but you don't get to justify abusing women for your anxiety.
You ever notice this is what Democrats do? They make excuses for not just their own behavior, but others' bad behavior as well. It's never on them. It's never their responsibility. It's constantly
an
excuse.
Child.
It's like a child.
They're stuck at 3-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Right brain only, no left brain.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hillary apparently in the documentary claims that she was taken by complete surprise. She had no idea that there could have been any of these million affairs. And she said that she was devastated. She could not believe it. She was so personally hurt and she just could not believe that he lied. I have a hard time believing that.
I believe that she probably was hurt and devastated about it, but you better believe she knew exactly what was going on.
That's what I have a hard time believing.
And it was convenient for her to be with him for her own political aspirations and hook on to his coattails and move up the ladder. She knew what was going on.
And women like Juanita Broderick have straight up said that she was part of the whole intimidation and cover-up operation. She knew exactly what was going on with all the women, but she didn't care because they were a brand. They weren't really husband and wife. They were a brand.
Exactly.
And they were both riding it through his presidency, and they probably signed an agreement in the very beginning saying, once I'm president, then it's your turn. Something like that.
So I want to get all of your answers because this is something that I'm so fascinated by. Do you think Bill and Hillary Clinton actually love each other? Do they love each other or are they in it for the power?
I think they love the brand that they are.
But not each other.
I don't think they're
in it for the power couple dynamic.
I think that's what it is. I can't see how you could.
I agree.
Especially with years and years and years of his infidelity to include rape. And you know this about him.
And all of the allegations of her intimidating the women who are involved. I mean, that's pretty messed up.
She didn't do that because she loved him so much.
Right.
She did it because she
wants to
be
protect her brand.
And wanted to be president of the United States one day.
Yeah, what do you think, Yaku?
I don't want to jump ahead of you, brother.
Go ahead.
This is psychosis. Yes, that works. You stand with someone that'll affirm your belief system and it'll walk that dark path with you, right? Hillary knows she leaves Bill. Who else will cover up, will have her back like this? It's not love. It is coexisting and it's truly covering for one another. I mean, she just won't find anybody else, nor will he.
Yeah.
That will live that lifestyle, that brand. That's exactly what it is. It's a manufactured brand, and that's why they don't go away.
Mm.
They will reinvent that brand.
Need that brand. Grant, what do you think?
I do not think they love each other.
Okay.
I think they may have loved each other when they first met, and it was all rosy. I do not think they love each other now.
Yeah.
No, Hillary Clinton's too smart. I mean, I disagree with her on everything politics,
but she
is too smart to stick with a guy who's cheating on her over and over again if you love the person. Now, if you don't love the person and you like the power,
her
smart's kicked in. It's a means to an end.
It's a means to an end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Up next, apparently, journalists can't do basic math. I know this is breaking news for you. Jason requested that we talk about this, so I'm sure he'll have a lot to say on it. But first, did you know, if all of you dog owners, which I'm sure there are a lot of you, did you know the dog food that you are buying, the dry dog food that you buy your dog, you go to the store, you spend way too much money on it, it's sterilized, so they're killing all of the good stuff in the food that your dog needs, like the probiotics and the microbacteria and the enzymes, all the stuff that's supposed to be in there that dogs need is killing it all so that it has a 2 to 3 year shelf life. So as the parent of a dog myself, I'm so happy that we got Rough Greens as a sponsor on our show. I use it now for my dog. By the way, it's not a dog food. You actually sprinkle it on top of your dog's food. It's a supplement that puts back all of that live nutrients into your dog's food. It's necessary for your dog to have superior health. So just think about it. You know, you're already spending like a ridiculous amount of money on their dog food. Instead of doing that, I mean, pay for good food, but you really have got to put all of the good stuff that's supposed to be in their food. You got to put it back into their diet. Take the Rough Greens 14-day jumpstart challenge today, and for just $14.95, you will see the difference in your dog in 14 days or less. If you want to see your dog thrive again, go to roughgreens.com/blaze. That is roughgreens.com/blaze. Take that 14-day challenge today. MSNBC, you know that a segment is going to go really well when you have someone like Brian Williams who introduces a quote fact and says, somebody tweeted recently that, and then insert fact here. You know that it's going to be really, it's going to make so much sense. It's going to be super factual when it leads with somebody tweeted recently. Here is what that looked like.
Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads. U.S. population, 327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
It's an incredible way of putting it. It's true. It's disturbing. It does suggest, you know, what we're talking about here, which is there's too much money in politics.
Jason, would you like to, do you want to take this one?
I mean, I am awful at math, right? Like, my kids don't even come to me anymore. And when I saw this, I was like, isn't that really just like $1.50 or something?
It's a dollar.
$1.50.
$1.50.
It's so ridiculous.
500 people, $1 million.
Exactly.
That's how that math works out. That math will get you every time.
It would be, actually, it's like, what, $327 trillion?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
I mean, just everyone. Minor differences. Yes.
Just a little
minor
bit.
Should I just be honest?
Yeah.
So I'm listening to him. I'm like, where's the problem? And I didn't even realize it. I'm looking. I'm like, there's got to be a problem here. I'm waiting for you to spell it out.
And I'm supposed to be the business guy.
I don't have Oracle running my numbers for me.
He could have restored our fiscal gap.
Oh, that man.
So it's funny.
I mean, truly think about what they're trying to put on him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what a rich, selfish SOB. He could have given every single American a million dollars and said he's blowing it on this campaign. Oh, wait, it was only 500 people.
So you've got Brian Williams, MSNBC. Wow. You've got a member of the editorial board for the New York Times. These two people, you think, how would this get by them? And I saw other people commenting, how did this get by the producers, the writers, all of that? It went through multiple stages.
You don't think
stages.
He could have been ad-libbing it? He could have been ad-libbing it.
But
he could have been off the cuff
text on
it.
Screen.
It was.
They showed the text on screen.
The graphic
on the screen, but he could have been doing the math in his head.
Well, he repeated it. So look at
it's written on.
Oh, he's reading.
The U.S. population is 327
million. Can I say this? So I have some history with Brian Williams. I worked in the NBC system for almost 20 years.
That's right.
And knew the man, had done live shots for the man, and I always actually had great respect for Brian Williams leading up to his fall from grace. And now with what he has become on MSNBC, I've emailed him on two occasions to his personal non-NBC email address. You are disappointing yourself. What you are doing and buying into the MSNBC Kool-Aid, he was not like this when he was the main anchor at NBC. Yes, he was liberal, but he was not a crazy, outrageous MSNBC talking head. You think I got a response back?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. No.
But isn't that normally the case, though? You see these guys, they're there so long, and all of a sudden it is job security. And
it's
trying,
job security. So he's fighting for his life because he screwed everything up.
And I, to your point, though, I'm close to several Fox affiliates, right? And I'm watching, I'm standing in the newsrooms, and I'm watching the writers. These are 20, 21, 22-year-olds. And I'm not saying you can't write when you're 21, 22, but maybe you can't count. I don't know.
Apparently.
But it passed multiple layers, though.
That's what I do. Like, I write, and if I write something, there's multiple people, just because I'm kind of a cocky guy, that would love to ding me on something. So, and they do, too, all the time. So, like, it'll get dinged at multiple different levels.
Yeah.
There's no way, like, so I guess one of my biggest points on this is exactly what's wrong with the media right now. They're not after the facts. If they were after the facts, that would have gotten caught.
Check it.
Right. But this fits their narrative.
You'd be shocked exactly at how little approval process there is, even at a network level. And so I'll go back to, not to defend Brian Williams here, but so even if it's written out there, it's almost like the potato spelling. Remember that debacle, right? If it's on the card and it spells it one way, do you overrule the card? You're reading it off this.
True. He's just reading it as he's doing the math.
There's got to be some kind of approval process.
Did he see it before he's reading it in the prompter? Was that last minute? But then again, In the newsroom, this is written in the newsroom. It's checked off by the editor.
So you're saying blame the editors and the writers and the producers more.
Yeah, I mean, he should
Brian.
Get it. But look, I just admitted to you, I didn't even get it while he was reading it. Like, I didn't think to, like, run it through. I'm reading it on the screen while, you know, until you say, oh my God, yeah, right? I mean, it's a dollar.
I think the woman was the one that first brought it up. She was the one that first brought it up.
So did they correct it? They did correct it?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I think she was kind of doubling down.
The journalist wrote another tweet that then she, I think, locked down her account and deleted a bunch of stuff. But she said, blah, blah, math, blah, blah. People are telling me my numbers are wrong. But the point still stands. He could easily afford to give everyone $1 million and literally never notice.
No, he couldn't.
I love also that it says, people are telling me my numbers are wrong.
Their numbers.
Like, no, your numbers are wrong. It's not that people are just telling you that your numbers are wrong.
There's an underlying thing here, though, the entitlement that because he's wealthy, and I don't care if he had $400 trillion, why does he have to give a dollar to anybody?
Right.
I mean, yes, we want to be generous, but he owes me $1 million because he has some. This is who they are today.
It's true.
They believe you work, I get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is America.
What could possibly go wrong with all of this class envy bubbling up to the surface, Grant? There's nothing that could possibly go
wrong
there.
No.
Wow.
Let's see. In other 2020 news, you know, we've been covering Elizabeth Warren. Poor Pocahontas. Her campaign dreams have officially ended. But interestingly enough, she and Nancy Pelosi are blaming sexism and misogyny for Elizabeth Warren not getting to the top.
Okay, I gotta go first.
Please, because it's on the tip of my tongue and I'm...
So sexism and misogyny, but in her home state, the women wouldn't even vote for her in her home state.
Mm-hmm.
The women chose Biden in her home state.
Mm.
Is that sexist? Are misogynistic when the women didn't vote for her?
It's also a bunch of Democrats. So what is that saying about your own party?
Right.
Exactly.
Just wondering.
Yes.
Did you notice in her her little press conference she held after she was bowing out, she said, I'll have a lot to say on that about the sexism issue and is Bernie Sanders sexism. And she's like, I'll have a lot to say on the coming up, but I'm not going to say anything right now.
Oh,
you can't just admit that you lie over and over and over again. You get caught in your lies. Then you double down on your lies that some point. Yes, women are not going to vote for you because they don't want a liar in office.
Yep. She's here. Let me give the quote really quickly, and then I want to get your thoughts. She said, gender in this race, you know, that's the trap question. If you say, yeah, there was sexism in this race, everyone says, whiner. And if you say, no, there was no sexism, about a bajillion women think, what planet do you live on? Yaku.
I ask what planet they live on, because here we go again. You get a trophy for just showing up in that party. Participation, you lost. You lost.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Hillary lost in 16. Learn to deal with that, you know. Sure, does sexism exist today? Sure it does. But you make the best point ever. It's your own people, women in your own party, in your own state.
It was a Democratic primary.
That's saying you're just not likable.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not likable.
Not likable.
Before we go, I do want to play Nancy Pelosi, who basically echoed Elizabeth Warren's sentiments that it's the voters' misogynistic ways. That is the only thing, that's the only possible reason it could be. Watch.
But I do think there's a certain element of misogyny that is there. And some of it isn't really mean-spirited. It just isn't their experience. Many of them will tell you they had a strong mom, they have strong sisters, they have strong daughters. But they, you know, they have their own insecurities.
Okay, you know, I cannot
wait. She's insulting her own party.
I cannot wait for 2024. I cannot wait for 2024 so that we can have Nikki Haley stick it to every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And the GOP will come out in force and we'll
annihilate.
Yeah. An astronomical support behind Nikki Haley, and she will destroy. And a conservative woman will be the next president of the United States after Donald Trump. Will destroy. They will be so pissed.
It would be really great. Okay, fair, but also, what, Hillary Clinton winning the popular vote in 2016, that shows America's sexism?
Wait a minute. The woman that just spoke to you is Speaker of the House.
Right.
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House. You're at the top of the House. What are we talking about here?
Number three in line.
It's insane.
A woman, and
well,
you have a huge
She's not number one, so that's, yeah, right. that's well, the misogyny
there. No, but you're Speaker of the House. Everybody in the House is beneath you, woman. I mean, and you're complaining. That, I'm telling you, right?
It's unbelievable.
It's a sickness.
And you know, I also will point out also when we vote, if Nikki Haley decides to run, we will support her not because of what her gender is.
Yes.
No, because she's amazing.
Because she's a freaking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's my call right now. That's who I'm voting for. Not because I don't give
Jason,
a crap.
Jason, could you
what
like wait until the rest of the candidates come out before you make that decision?
No, I'm ready. I'm ready now.
Hey, but can I just ask you, can you just vote in 2020?
2020. Let's get through 2020.
In November, I'll vote for Trump, but then I'll also put like a footnote at the end. Nikki Haley, 2024.
It doesn't hurt that she is cute too.
No, it does not. It does not hurt at all.
It doesn't hurt at all.
Absolutely true. All right, back in a minute. If Americans say they don't look at overall appearance when they vote, they're lying.
They're lying.
The Trump administration announced yesterday that it is deporting a Nazi concentration camp guard who apparently was just chilling, living in Tennessee. He's going back to Germany, which is odd because you don't typically see white supremacists and Nazis such as Donald Trump actually do something like deport his own brethren. Oh, wait, that's because he's not actually a Nazi or a white supremacist. So apparently, this particular man, he was a Nazi concentration camp guard, and he helped guard the prisoners during their forcible evacuation to this Neuengamme, I think you say it, main camp. Nearly a two-week trip under inhumane conditions, which claimed the lives of some 70 prisoners. Now, this is the craziest part. Apparently, the DOJ said that this man, Berger, continues to receive a pension from Germany based on his employment, including his wartime service.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
So he gone. Gone.
So two questions. How was he even allowed to be here in the
That's
first place?
That's my question. Yep. How did he get here?
And two, there's an actual program for Nazis to get money from the government?
That's still a thing? I mean, it's not a program for Nazis to get, but it includes his wartime service.
Or those servicemen.
So they don't discriminate against the men who served, you know, and were Nazis during that whole time. They just don't, like, leave them out. They include them in the wartime service bit.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
It's pretty crazy, right?
Anyone that fought for the enemy should not get paid for that. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
or be here.
Nazi Germany was defeated, so their soldiers, I don't care, should not be getting paid for it. Yeah, he shouldn't be here to begin with, so good on the Trump administration for actually, you know, doing something about this. He shouldn't be deported, though. I think he should go straight to an Israeli prison.
Mm.
Why isn't he not going to an Israeli jail for the rest of his life?
Yeah. Yep. So, Grant, odd thing for Donald Trump to do if he's a Nazi.
I can't believe him. This is, just doesn't make any sense. Why would a Nazi white supremacist deport one of his own? I mean, it's sad that we even have to joke about that.
Yeah.
And it always bothers me when people bring up this whole thing that President Trump's racist. And then you ask him, name me one thing. And then what they do is they name fake news comments that the president made. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you, Jason. I think this guy should be put in prison. These stories come up every now and then. You'll see them, that there a Nazi guard is found in the United States. And, you know, they'll either be back to Germany. But I've seen them brought up on war crimes, too. Brought up on war crime charges.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you wonder, why wasn't this guy brought up on war crime charges? Who knows?
I'm with Jason on this one. Give him to the people who he hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, which is my heritage. Send him to Tel Aviv. Send him to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Call Netanyahu and say, you're welcome.
Yeah, what does sending him to Germany do?
Nothing.
So he gets to go and retire on his pension that he's already collecting in Germany?
I mean, I agree with you. I would assume that that's protocol.
Probably. Protocol is deporting back to his country.
Right. If you're deporting him, you're deporting him back to where he came from. You're not just picking, like, I think we want to send him here instead.
Most likely, they're reporting it to Israel and say, hey, we found this guy. We're sending him there. Put eyes on him.
Yeah.
That's probably what
happens. Hopefully, there's an Israeli team ready to pick him up once he lands in Berlin.
I mean, it's so interesting because you see these stories and you're like, oh, I don't hear the left complaining about racism and xenophobia here. Perhaps, if I may, perhaps it could just be that Donald Trump doesn't want bad people in the country. Perhaps that what is behind, detaining people at the border. Perhaps it's just that he just wants to weed out the people who maybe shouldn't be here. I don't know. Maybe it has nothing to do with race.
But it doesn't. But even bigger is what you just said. When you said you hear about these stories, do you? We do, because we get them in our conservative media
Americans
outlets.
Americans
do not hear the story. The mainstream media will hide this story with every fiber of their being to make sure the American public does not see Donald Trump deporting a Nazi. Yeah. They don't want the mainstream to know about this.
Well, the smart people who are watching this program now know about it. So you're welcome. In other Trump news, last week, a federal appeals court ruled in favor of the Trump administration, probably something else you didn't hear on the mainstream media, on a sanctuary city policy, which allows the Department of Justice to withhold millions of dollars in federal funding from cities and states that refuse to cooperate with federal immigration authorities' attempt to address illegal immigration. But President Trump actually tweeted about this morning. He said, as per recent federal court ruling, the federal government will be withholding funds from sanctuary cities. They should change their status and go non-sanctuary. Do not protect criminals. So the president has spoken on that. Looks like they're going to roll it out. I say, great.
Of course.
Great. I mean, I wish we could have done it sooner.
He says, do not protect criminals. And you could add to that, please do protect our citizens from the criminals.
Yeah.
And the whole sanctuary city thing boggles the mind. When you think you're not going to cooperate with law enforcement that wants to take a violent person off the streets, you just let them go? To do what? Kill your own people. It makes no sense. So they should hold the money back.
I say it's about time.
Yeah.
Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, same. I can't believe it's gotten to this point. And I can't believe this has had to be fought in the courts. The judicial system right now is so jacked. Mm. I mean,
it's changing, though, slowly. President Trump is changing with his appointments. I mean, you're even seeing changes in the Ninth Circuit, which is insane. That circuit out west, California area, has been so devastating to freedom in America. And even that is starting to change. With more appointments he gets in some of these activist courts, the better off we all are.
I tell you what, with the way the left is going, we're going to need the court system to fight some of these like crazy executive orders that'll come out. I mean, we know what they want. They want to fundamentally change the Constitution.
Look, he's appointed now over 190 federal judges. I mean,
how many of those, I don't know if you know offhand, there were so many that were just left vacant by Obama.
Obama left all seats vacant. You got to ask yourself, as a president, they say, hey, Mr. President, we got all these seats, 200, 300, you know, positions, and we're thinking of these people filling these 50 slots. Should we fill them?
Right.
Yeah. So let me ask, though.
No, let's leave them open.
Was there any maneuvering on behalf of us to make sure we didn't appoint some of these people toward the end of President Obama's term? and not get them appointed, not get them through the confirmation process.
8 years in the office.
Well, he certainly did have 8 years. But that's, I would be all for that if they did hold up some of these appointments, which I'm sure some of them probably did.
Yeah.
But while I'm with you, I think it's turning because now we're appointing federal judges that are pro-American, that are constitutional, that's fair and balanced, right? But we're going to need the court system more than ever before. I agree with you, Jason. But it's jacked. It's jacked at levels. If you look at what de Blasio is doing in New York, abusing the court system, letting criminals out on the street, no bail. That's at Omar, Minnesota. This tweet this morning is aimed at those individuals. Ilhan Omar, de Blasio, and these guys saying, hey, you're sanctuary cities. We're going to crack down and we're going to squeeze you where it hurts. Money.
It's a catch 22. What I just said, you know, we will need the court systems, which is what's sad if they try to go too far left. But the court system as it is right now has way too much power. They're operating kind of like a monarchy. Anytime President Trump wants to do anything, you have some Ninth Circuit Court or some other circuit court. Get in your lane and get away from that. Let the other branches of government do their jobs. You are a last resort, not a first resort.
All right, back in a minute.
I think it's 193. That's a good question. I should ask John.
Hey, we've got a coronavirus update for you. We've got, just because, you know, I like to be prepared, or at least my producers like to be prepared for me, I have got a personal COVID-19 box. So we've got our Lysol hand wipes. We've got some wine, just because, you know, why wouldn't you want wine?
Because I'm Sarah.
We've got Bacardi vodka. We've got an N95 mask. It does say N95 on it, so you know it's legit. Hand sanitizer, toilet paper, gloves, and also, for some odd reason, radiation protection tablets. I don't know what I'm going to need these for, but it's making me a little bit nervous to see. So that. Here you go, guys. Just in case you guys need anything.
Thank goodness.
I only need one thing out of here.
Yeah. The Bacardi. I'm taking that. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome. So they made this for me because I said, I want to talk about this Tito's vodka story. So kid you not, Tito's vodka had to start sending Twitter warnings to Twitter users that you could not actually make hand sanitizer from Tito's vodka for coronavirus. They had an influx of people who, I'm not kidding, who said, I'm going to make my own hand sanitizer with Tito's vodka. And Tito's had to say, per the CDC, hand sanitizer needs to contain at least 60% alcohol. Tito's handmade vodka is 40% alcohol, therefore it does not meet the current recommendation of the CDC. Oh, by the way, all you have to do is wash your damn hands, people.
I use Tito's as a throat cleansing.
Right,
sanitizer.
Yeah, you got to get all the germs out.
So when I'm out in public, I get the germs out, I come home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm
swinging around.
I mean, this is what it's come to. This is what it's come to, is Tito's is having to warn their customers, really. Do not use us as hand sanitizer to protect against coronavirus. It's not going to work.
Is there a YouTube video that spurred this? I'm trying to figure out how did this become a thing?
Well, when you first hear about it, it kind of sounds like when you first look at that tweet that said, you know, if Bloomberg gave, you know, $1 million to everybody, he would still have enough money. It sounds like it would make sense. When you first look at it, you're like, well, yeah, you're pouring alcohol.
Yeah, alcohol.
On your hands.
That makes sense.
The most expensive hand sanitizer ever.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would you? That's why my mind is going, wait, there's other ways. Soap.
Soap.
Hot water, 15 seconds, you're good to go. I mean,
that's what I don't get.
My mind's blown. We had an argument, like everyone's saying, soaping your hands is better than hand sanitizer. But I said, have you ever watched my 10-year-old wash his hands? Guarantee you the hand sanitizer is better than the two-second wash underneath.
We try to, with my son, who's 7 and a half, he washes it, and I'm like, okay, remember they taught you sing the happy birthday song? And he's like, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, that doesn't count.
There's so many people right now because there's so much kind of hysteria, I think, on what they don't know about coronavirus, that they're doing the stupidest crap. Like, you have people buying these masks in bulk because they think it's going to protect them. No, it's not. Stop that. Mm-hmm. That's if you already have the virus. Then you put that on so you don't spread it to everybody.
Exactly.
But just because you buy one of these, if you're perfectly healthy, you buy one of these masks and walk around, you look like one of those idiots in Asia that do all this
oh!
all the time.
Oh!
I mean, I'm sorry. You, no, not because of that. But I'm sorry, but all you they're the ones where these viruses always come from. They always come from Asia.
It's not protecting you guys. You're still getting it.
I know. And you're always wearing the mask. Just stop it. It's not doing anything.
Did you just become Kermit the Frog?
I don't know.
Well, up in here.
So apparently there was a man who was told to self-quarantine because he was showing signs of coronavirus in New Hampshire, and he didn't. He went to a private party with a bunch of doctors, which just makes you, you know, it's like, guy, come on. We have this freedom around these here parts for a reason, and you're screwing it up and making people think, like, you know what, maybe we should just do this, like, just force people quarantine, don't let them leave their homes. You know who's doing that? China. And it doesn't look fun from all of the videos that we're seeing. So stop screwing it up for the rest of us.
You think I'm crazy? I have no fear of this coronavirus whatsoever.
I don't think you're crazy.
I have just as much fear of getting the coronavirus. No, less than I do of getting the flu. Well, I have less fear of getting the corona than I do of getting the flu.
Yeah, well, you have no fear because you're healthy and all that stuff.
Adult,
the only thing that I'm scared about, right, is like my grandparents and parents because they're in that danger area. And that's where the fatality rate jumps up. In some cases, it's 16%.
But nobody's talking about this, though, Jason. Nobody's saying this. You were saying yesterday on yesterday's show, hey, tell us who's getting sick.
Right.
How old were they? Right. What were their medical condition? Because what you're going to find is it's not the 16-year-old football player, the 22-year-old college student. You know, right? But I'm with you. Calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down, people.
For me, I would say, hey, is going to tank.
Well, for me, I would say, look, this is what it looks like when people have no God in their life. Number one, because you can't control it, so you freak out. But for those who don't even believe in God, just calm down for a second. Mayhem never works.
I said this to my father. I said, you know, I'm not going to. He said, well, yeah, but I'm older, right? And he's 76. He's good shape. And he says, I'm older. I said, yeah, but Pop, the stock market isn't worried about you. They're worried about people showing up to work and do earnings go down and all that stuff. And he's like, well, it should be worried about me.
Oh, bless his heart. And
I did
talk to someone yesterday who, you know, she's a young woman, but she has a, like, she doesn't produce immunities, right? She has an autoimmune disorder. And it's like, I feel for everyone who is at risk. You could catch a common cold and
Absolutely.
Be in severe trouble. Mm-hmm. And that's not to be, you know, made light of, certainly. But when you're talking about the general public's panic over this, it doesn't seem like there's a reason for the general public to all think, if I catch this, I'm going to die.
Well, the media is telling you that.
Right.
That's why it's panic.
Okay, but listen, even in an outbreak situation, when there's real, real drama, your incident the other day at Dave & Buster's or whatever it was where you were.
There was a shooter at Dave & Buster's.
It never helps to panic.
Yeah.
Never.
Panic never helps. It never works, right? So even when there's real imminent danger, you still need to stay calm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So calm down.
It also helps to have plenty of booze on hand.
She took the Bacardi back.
You noticed really that? Yeah. Wasn't it? All right, back
All
in a minute.
I got was this beer.
Yesterday's poll question with Warren out, who has the strongest chance of getting the 2020 Democratic nomination? 85% of you said Joe Biden. 15% of you said Bernie Sanders. Interesting. I wish that we had something from like 3 weeks ago to compare that to.
Right.
Right. When Bernie was on the rise, I feel like they would have been flip-flopped.
Wow.
But here we are.
I'm still sticking with Michelle and Hillary.
Are you? Grant's not giving up.
Come out the last minute.
He's ready.
Yeah, last minute.
Brokered convention.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
I mean,
I say it joking.
Know. Yeah, no, you never know. Especially with the DNC, you never know. Today's poll, did you vote in the recent primaries? The options are yes, no, or my state hasn't voted yet. I don't know. I don't know what you want from us on this. I'm sure we all voted, right?
I voted,
yes.
And if you didn't vote, don't admit it.
That's to accept.
Don't say on air that you didn't vote.
I don't know if you can see that on camera. If there's a shot on camera.
Yeah.
When I ran for Congress, people told me they voted, and they forget that I can go and see whether they voted or not. Now I can't see who they voted for.
Yeah, yeah,
but you know
where they voted, and I can't tell you how many people didn't vote that said they voted.
Oh my gosh.
No wonder I lost.
Some friends. Some friends busted. All right. Well, thanks for being here, guys. And we will see you guys on Monday.
When did you remember?
2011. Primary.
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.